This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East MEA Center, www.imemc.org, for the week of August 18th through August 25th, 2006.
Israel invades the West Bank 44 times, kills 6 in the Gaza Strip, and abducts 2 senior Palestinian officials.
UN Resolution 1701 falters as Israel continues to attack Lebanon and the UN peacekeeping force fails to materialize.
And Palestinian peaceful protests continue in the West Bank villages of Bilayin and Al-Hada.
These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned.
At the weekly demonstrations against the annexation wall at Bilayin today, soldiers brutally attacked protesters with batons. As the protesters made their way to the wall, the soldiers advanced towards them and started beating them repeatedly on all parts of their body. One American peace activist was beaten on the head and suffered concussion, whilst another suffered serious wounds to her hand. Numerous other protesters sustained baton injuries. Nonetheless, Palestinians and international ISM activists continued confronting the soldiers. Mansour, a local ISM coordinator, describes soldiers' brutality against the peace activists.
As we were walking, Palestinians, internationals, Israeli activists, the soldiers start throwing sound grenades, and they announce that inside the village that it is closed military zone. And while we come to ask them about this, they start beating us, and they really were very, very, very brutal in the way that they used to deal with us. I was asking them, what is this written in this paper? And it's in Hebrew and we don't understand it. One of the soldiers, he catch me and start beating me. And while I was holding their gloves to ask him, why you beating me? Another 2 soldiers came and they start beating me. And they were beating everybody in a random way.
Local sources at the village said the army used a new weapon against the protesters. Troops fired some kind of bullets that caused an electric shock upon hitting the body and leaves bruises on the skin. At least 5 internationals, 4 Israelis and 3 Palestinians were wounded. In Al-Khadr village near Bethlehem, local residents, including many children, were joined by international peace activists to protest against the construction of the wall in their village, which will illegally annex a wide area of land to Israel. The villagers believe the Israeli government's plans is to expropriate their farmlands and encircle them with the wall and fences. They were met by about 20 soldiers who prevented them from reaching Road 60, a road used only by settlers, where they have previously stood with their banners and Palestinian flags in view of passing cars. The soldiers menaced the children, shouting and pushing, attempting to provoke them into violence. The children held their ground, singing and chanting. The soldiers also took photographs of many of the children. The border police arrived as the demonstration ended. Most of the land that will be annexed to Israel in Al-Khadr is agricultural land and is the only source of income to many of the villagers.
Now let's move on to Israel's attacks on the West Bank and Gaza Strip that killed 9 this week and injured 26.
In Gaza, the Israeli army killed 6 residents, including a woman who died of wounds sustained earlier this month. Gaza's death toll in Israel's Operation Summer Rain, began June 28th, is now 216, including 45 children. 842 have been injured on the onslaught, 240 of them children. Over 300 families have been displaced. The army abducted 6 resistance fighters from Islamic Jihad and Hamas and killed 3 Islamic Jihad fighters who were attempting to infiltrate into Israel through a border fence near Khan Yunis. The army also abducted 5 residents from their homes and destroyed 2 houses in Gaza, one in Jabalia camp and one in Rafah. The families were given 30 minutes to evacuate. On Thursday, a group of Palestinian armed men blew a hole in the annexation wall to protest the months of closure that have left thousands stranded in Egypt. 1,300 Egyptian border guards were then deployed along the border. Meanwhile, Safa commercial crossing between Israel and the Gaza Strip was temporarily opened this week after months of closure.
In the West Bank, Israeli troops invaded the West Bank 44 times this week, arresting 64 civilians, including 5 children and 4 women. In one invasion into the West Bank town of Al-Ebadiya, east of Bethlehem, an Apache missile killed two members of Al-Quds Brigade, Islamic Jihad's armed wing, and destroyed the cave they were hiding in. A Palestinian worker was shot dead at an Israeli checkpoint near Nablus, and two others were injured. The Israeli human rights group B'Tselem issued a report this week warning of a sharp increase in cases in which Israeli soldiers and border police in the West Bank have beaten, abused and humiliated Palestinians, particularly since the outbreak of the war in Lebanon on July 12th. Risa Zoll with B'Tselem.
Nablus and Sokarm in particular, as the report highlights, were areas where many of the incidents that we've documented have taken place, although there are incidents throughout the West Bank, but those areas in particular have been the site of frequent abuses and beatings, and certainly restrictions on movement. There are roads that are completely prohibited to Palestinian traffic that are designated for Jews only, for Jewish settlers to use. There are 41 roads that we've documented that have been prohibited to Palestinian travel. That's about 700 kilometers of roadway.
In Jenin, an Israeli undercover unit disguised as Palestinian civilians fired at Hussam Jawadat, a local leader of Islamic Jihad. Jawadat was seriously injured. He was treated at a local hospital and then moved into hiding. This is Israel's second attempt to assassinate Jawadat this month.
The Israeli military kidnapped two Palestinian officials from Ramallah this week. Deputy Prime Minister Dr. Nasruddin Ashar on Saturday and Palestinian Legislative Council Secretary Dr. Mahmoud al-Ramahi on Sunday. Earlier this month, Israeli troops kidnapped Speaker of the Palestinian Legislative Council, Dr. Abdelaziz Dweik. The soldiers beat him until he had to be hospitalized. This week, an Israeli military court charged Dweik with membership in a terrorist organization, having contracts with Khaled Mishal, head of the Hamas Politburo, and heading a terrorist establishment, that is, the Hamas-led Palestinian Legislative Council. Ghazi Hamad, a government spokesperson, analyzes the reasoning behind Israel's abductions of Palestinian officials.
I think that Israel is interested either in removing the Palestinian political system or creating a political void through the ongoing detention of legislators and cabinet ministers and by making the government to lose its resources. I think that Israel wants to send a message to the world saying that there is no Palestinian partner for peace and there is no Palestinian government.
So far, five ministers and over 36 legislators have been abducted in the last 2 months. Only four have been released.
As internal talks continued this week around the possibility of forming a national unity government, Palestinian Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh laid out his conditions for such a government. They included the release of all imprisoned ministers and legislators from Israeli jails, the lifting of Israel's blockade on the Palestinian territories, and the end of the US and the EU's aid cutoff. Haniyeh also insisted that any coalition government be headed by Hamas, since the party had claimed a majority in the January elections. Some Palestinian civil servants declared a two-day warning strike this Wednesday and Thursday, demanding payment and the lifting of the aid blockade. If their demands are not met by September 2nd, they plan to declare an open strike. Jamil Shehada is head of the Palestinian Teachers Union, who had threatened a strike just as the schools are set to open.
Everybody should know that the base of all our problems here is the Israeli occupation. If we didn't have the occupation, we wouldn't have such problems. Secondly, those countries who blindly support Israel are part of the problem. And third, the Palestinian Authority is responsible for paying the salaries. The Authority should find ways to fulfill its obligations to the workers.
At least 165,000 Palestinian governmental employees have not been paid regularly for 6 months, since the US and EU imposed an aid freeze on the Palestinian Authority. The US has also threatened to consider any bank that transfers funds to the PA a terrorist sympathiser.
An unknown Palestinian faction calling itself Holy Jihad Brigade claimed responsibility for kidnapping two Fox News reporters, Steve Kentani, 60, from the USA, and Olaf Wigg, 36, from New Zealand, 9 days ago. The group gave the American administration 72 hours to release all Muslims imprisoned in American jails. The American consulate in Jerusalem rejected the ultimatum, saying they would not respond to the demands of terrorists. Palestinian journalists in the Gaza Strip held massive protests against the abduction of the two reporters and demanded their release. On Thursday, Palestinian Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh called for the immediate and safe release of the two reporters and expressed hopes that his government's efforts will be successful. Later on Friday, the Hamas-led Palestinian government said that an achievement has been made in the case. Palestinian Interior Minister Saeed Sayyam issued a statement saying that, quote, things are moving in a positive direction, end quote, but did not reveal any further details.
One Israeli soldier was killed and three injured on Wednesday in occupied Sheba Farms when Israeli troops stepped on one of the 400,000 landmines left by Israel in Lebanon after the pullout in 2000. Another Israeli soldier was killed in clashes with Hezbollah after Israel deployed paratroopers into central Lebanon. A fourth soldier was seriously injured when he fell and hit his head while patrolling the Lebanese village of Taiba. Three Lebanese soldiers were also killed by Israeli cluster bombs and landmines. UN officials voiced concern over the stability of UN Security Council Resolution 1701, which brokered a tenuous ceasefire between Lebanon and Israel earlier this month. Since its implementation, Israel has continued to attack Lebanon, and Hezbollah has refused to disarm. While 15,000 additional UN troops were supposed to arrive to reinforce the United Nations Interim Force in Lebanon, or UNIFIL, in South Lebanon, recruitment is proving difficult. France has only committed to doubling its contingent of 200 troops, raising doubts in the UN over Paris's enthusiasm.
And that's just some of the news this week in Palestine. For constant updates, check out our website, www.imemc.org. As always, thanks for joining us. From Occupied Bethlehem, this is Dina Awad.
And Nicholas Blinko.
And Ghassan Banour.